לפי אני הזדהיתי, even after what he says, it's still difficult to understand. What was, why was this the reward that Achav got? This is what he says, I'll read it to you. V'hinei yesh lohavin. He asks, you have to understand, mibnei ma zocha Achav lezeh. Why was Achav zoiche? Shemishulchono yoichal Eliyo Hanovi. That from his table, Eliyo Hanovi should eat. He comes and he answers, for Hanira loymar bezeh. It would seem to be explained, al pima sheomu b'sanhedrin. The Gemara there in Chelik is found on Afkuf Beis on the Beis. The Gemara says, Achav kibeid es ha-Torah. It's even hard for us to understand that. A guy is busy with Avodah Zorah. What does he have covered ha-Torah? How do you put the two things together? If you have Avodah Zorah, you don't have covered ha-Torah. If you have covered ha-Torah, you don't have Avodah Zorah. Whatever it means. But that's what the Gemara says. That somewhere in Achav's soul, he had kabbalas he had chashivas ha-Torah. And therefore, ukshabikesh ben hadad mimenu kesef izov. He agreed to give everything, but then he's not going to give. Menelo Lochain, says Rav Ginsburg, Rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakoi Sheyahono Elyonovi Minachosav. That's what he says. Anyway, then he goes to bring a raya that when somebody is a veteran with his money and he gives away his money, he gets it. But again, the problem is a big, very big problem. What was the midah keneged midah? That Achav was zoiche here, that Eliyahu HaNavi should eat. And lastly, which we touched on yesterday, why was the oirev? Why was the oirev the one that brought him the food? So I'm going to share with you now an unbelievable radvaz, fascinating radvaz, which we're going to learn more about later on, but I'm going to tell you just one prat of the radvaz. They asked the radvaz, what was this whole thing with Eliyahu HaNavi that Hashem now put him into golus like? Eliyahu HaNavi now is traveling, he's in the wilderness, he has to drink from the well, the birds are bringing him his food, and then Hashem takes him to a cave, which we're going to learn about later on. What is this whole thing? So he says an unbelievable thing to Radvaz. Unbelievable. The Radvaz says that Hashem had tainus on Eliyahu HaNavi. Listen to this, Radvaz. Hashem had tainus on Eliyahu HaNavi. Why? Because Eliyahu HaNavi was melamed choiv on Klal Yisrael. When Eliyahu HaNavi said, Kanoi Kanesi Lashem, Eliyahu HaNavi came to prosecute Klal Yisrael, to say that Klal Yisrael did Averis. In fact, the Medrash says that Eliyahu HaNavi said, as bris choy feiru, they went against your bris, bris is bris mila. Because of that, the Medrash says, Hashem made Eliyahu HaNavi come to every bris to witness. Every bris, you know, we have a kisei shel Eliyahu. By every bris, there's a kisei shel Eliyahu. And the Moel says, a kisei shel Eliyahu HaNavi zochu latoy. Why does Eliyahu HaNavi come to every bris? Because Eliyahu HaNavi said that Klal Yisrael didn't keep the bris. Hashem wanted he should witness every bris milah. He should see Klal Yisrael keeping the bris milah. Says the Radvaz, Hashem wants that the Nevi'im and the Manhige Yisrael should always look in the good of Klal Yisrael. They should always see the good of Klal Yisrael, not the bad of Klal Yisrael. They should see the good in Klal Yisrael. And the Nela Hashem wanted him to be traveling around now for 40 days, to remind him what Moshe Rabbeinu did. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do after the Chet Egel? He spent 40 days in Tefillah, right, to daven for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael then weren't in a good shape. They did the Chet of the Egel Azov. That was a tragic time in our history. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say forget about them. Moshe Rabbeinu said either forgive them or Mecheni no Misifrecha. Either forgive Klal Yisrael or forget about me, I'm out of here. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Zokter Advaz, that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants, no matter where Klal Yisrael are holding, the Manig Yisrael, you have to be Muhammad Tzchus on Klal Yisrael. Chazal tell us, of Teledik and Chazal, I'll tell you now what I think is Pshat in the Chazal. Chazal tell us that if you're dan somebody else lekav schus, so you see somebody else doing something which you think is questionable. You see chveis, the Rashid is giving a novish, you see a guy's talking. Not that that could happen, chas v'shem. The guy's talking. So now you have two choices. You could either say, guy's a mechutzif, Rashid is giving a novish, he's talking, what's going on? The guy's crazy. Mechutzif. That's one way. Or you could say, mistameh, he had a kasha on something that the Rashid said. And he told the guy next to him, maybe a pshat what the Rashid just said, just he could be able to continue to understand the sheep. So as unlikely as that is, right, especially if the guy is sitting like this, you have to be Malamed Schus. You have to say, probably, that's what the guy was doing. He was probably talking over a thought about the shir. That's what he was thinking. That's what he was doing. That's what Malamed Schus, Rabbi Yankov always used to say, Malamed Schus means you're learning Schus. It means it's not simple. You have to say a whole pshat. That's what you have to do. Now, if you do that, melamdim olav schus min hashamayim. So what's the obvious question? What's the million-dollar question in this? I mean, I'm going to give you $1 million. What's the million-dollar question? The million-dollar question is simple. L'choira, dan l'kav schus, is only possible by a bus of a dumb. I see somebody talking. Okay? So now I don't know. Yeah, I see in the middle of Seder, I see Baruch is downstairs by the Jew. So I have two ways. I could either say he's in the middle of Seder, he's wasting his time, he went downstairs. Terrible. Or I could say, what do you mean? He's part of Anahola. He has to work out the room down there. The Manal sent him down to check something out. He's a shliach of the Manal. Right? So by me, it's possible. I don't know. I'm not a Novi. I could either go l'kav choriv or I could go l'kav schus because I don't know the reality. I don't know what it is. Either it is or it's not. Either the guy means it or he doesn't mean it, right? I don't know. Shemayim doesn't have two options. Shemayim knows exactly Yitzchak what's going on, right? Hashem doesn't look at what you're doing and think, oh, I wonder what he's doing. Is Yumi sleeping or is he busy being ma'amik in the sugi? Shemayim knows. I don't know. Shemayim knows. I'd rather know. Not this, I'd rather know. You hear what I'm saying, Yumi? So Shemayim is not Shaykh Limut Schus. Shemayim knows. Either it is or it's not. Shemayim doesn't have doubt. It's a Peladik Chazal. Kol Malamed Schus Al Acherim. If you Malamed Schus on other people, Hashem is Malamed Schus on you. Hashem doesn't have the two options. He knows the reality. He knows what it is. You can't give him stories. You can't say you were about to put your car phone back in the car. You were taking your phone from the car to the car, back and forth. You can't do that with Shemayim. Shemayim knows either you were going to the car, you come back from the car, or whatever you were doing, you were doing. Shemayim knows. Shemayim knows if it's your phone or it's your Zaydis phone, or it's your Elta Zaydis phone, who's been dead for 50 years. And to get a hold of a person like that, you got to go wireless, because there's no wires down there. Shemayim knows! Simcha, so what shayach to say that if you're melamed schus on other people, Shemayim is melamed schus on you. They know the reality. Rabbi Yitzchok, you hear the pella? For this, we could run 20 miles to get it down. It's a pella. Simcha, 30 miles. It's a pella. So what's the pshat? You sure you hear the kasha? What shayach and Shemayim limud schus? They know! Limud Schus is only possible where you don't know. Could be this, it could be that. There's two ways to look at it. Shemayim doesn't have two ways to look at it. They know. The answer is simple. The answer is that sometimes, even when there's a reality, you have to know where it's coming from. A person even does an Aveira, even if it is an Aveira, you could look at it, oh, he's a terrible guy. You could look at it, Nebuchadnezzar, he's going through a hard time. It's not really so bad. He had a big Yetzer Hara. He had a hard day. He had a rough situation at home. You can look at the whole picture. if you look at another Yid and you have a positive view of another Jew, that means you're looking to put a positive spin on it. So Shemayim, when you do something, Shemayim will give you all the excuses. Shemayim will look positively at you. Instead of looking at you and going, oh, the guy's bottling, they'll say, listen, I had a rough day, which is true. So if you have a positive eye, Shemayim has a positive eye on you. Zok Advaz, that's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants from the Manhigim. He wants the Manhigim Yisrael should always look at Klai Yisrael positively. Even if Klai Yisrael do a chet, they should look positively. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu did. So he says, the Advaz, that Hashem was metatel Eliyahu HaNavi for 40 days to try to remind him what Moshe Rabbeinu did during those 40 days of the Egel Hazor. And Moshe davened for us. And that's what Hashem was trying to do to Eliyahu HaNavi. Now everything is answered. What did Hashem show him in that time? That even something that's negative could be positive. Because that's what Hashem wanted from Eliyahu HaNavi. So what did Hashem do? He took Achav HaRosha, who Achav did so many bad things, but Achav had some good things too. And now he made that Achav supported Eliyahu HaNavi. His food gave him sustenance. So now Eliyahu HaNavi had no choice but to say, you know what? Even Achav has something positive. Hashem did that at Bedafka. That was the Kenegan Midah. Hashem wanted to switch how Eliyahu HaNavi looks at Yidden. Even Achav, you have to see the positive. And the Mele of Rebbeinu Shel made that he ate from Achav not once a day, but twice a day. So that he should internalize that you have to look positively at a Yid. Now, the Rebbeinu Shel could have taken two birds. We asked the Kasha, why didn't the Rebbeinu Shel send the pigeon? Pigeon is a special bird. Eliyahu HaNavi shouldn't be given a pigeon. Why a raven? Why an oirev? An oirev is an oif tomeh. An oirev is an achzor. The oirev is a bad bird. Why would Hashem send an oirev? According to what I just said, it's gevaldik. The Rebbeinu Shel showed him that even in the behemoth, chayus v'oifus, you have to see positive. Even the achzor of the bird brought you food. That was positive, positive, positive. The Eibishter was showing Eliyahu HaNavi that you always have to extract the positive. And the Mela, Achav's meat, the Mela, it was a bird that normally is by nature a bad nature, an evil nature. And still, the Rebbeinu Shel was showing him that there's a concept of Limud Zchus. No matter how bleak the picture is, to be Melamed Zchus. And this is what we have to learn from this parak ourselves. Melamed Zchusan. I always say that for Lashon Hara, you should know the biggest help for Lashon Hara is when you're Melamed Zchus. When you're Melamed Zchus. You know, one of the Lashon Hara campaigns, they have a bumper sticker. I'm sure you've seen it. You put it on the back of your bumper. It says, put the brakes on Lashon Hara. Which is for Mordechai, we got to get him such a sticker. Just put the brakes. Just put the brakes. Right? Put the brakes on Lashon Hara. So I told one of the people who did, I said, you should know it's a very good bumper sticker. It's definitely much better than vote for Hillary. Lahavdil. Right? It's a good bumper sticker. But I said, Lufiani is daiti. I say, if you have to put the brakes on Lashon Hara, it's already not good. Because if you have a car like Binyamin Greenwald's father's antique, it doesn't need brakes. You know why it doesn't need brakes? Because it doesn't move. You only need brakes if the car moves. Mordechai needs brakes. Okay? Binyamin Greenwald's father's car antique does not need brakes. Halavai would need brakes. Mishabeach Abiseinu Avraham Yisrael Yankev V'yivorech V'yirape. And then it'll need brakes. Brakes you only need if you're going somewhere. If the tires are rolling, you need brakes. So Mamela, I tainted, put the brakes on Lashon Hara is not good. It means that you want to talk Lashon Hara. If the Lashon Hara wheels are spinning, and now we got to go, stop. No. That's already a problem. You have to stop it before it gets there. You shouldn't want to speak Lashon Hara about another Yid. It's not that I want to and now I'm going to put the brakes on. Emergency brake. No. You shouldn't want to speak Lashon Hara about another Yid. How do you not want to speak Lashon Hara about another Yid? You're down with kavzchus. You look at everybody positively. If you look at people positively, you're not even looking to talk Lashon Hara. Once you're looking to talk Lashon Hara, it means you're already being down the kavchoyim. You're being down the kavchoyim. If you're being down the kavchus, you have no Lashon Hara to talk about. Because even if you see somebody did something wrong, you go, well, it's because it is. You already have a pshat. You have no reason to talk about it. So really, that's what we have to take from this parak. That even on achav, you have to be melamed zchus. And even on an oirev, and that's what the Baruch Hashem was sending you the message to Eliyahu.